Well, this morning we've heard many testimonies of God's saving power. All of these people have borne witness to the reality that God acted in their lives to save and deliver them. And a number of people were also baptized, and in this way they openly and publicly declared their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so this morning I thought we might meditate on the significance of baptism for a few minutes by considering the baptism of Paul. Now, our text will be Acts 22, verse 16, but I'd like to set the context by beginning in verse 1 of Acts 22. So please turn there in your Bibles, Acts chapter 22. If you didn't bring one today, there should be one in every pew, so you should be able to grab one. Acts 22, beginning at verse 1. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Well, the first point I'd like us to think about this morning is that baptism symbolizes cleansing. Baptism symbolizes cleansing. The waters of baptism are a picture or an illustration of a profound spiritual truth. What happens to the person's body depicts what happens to the person's soul when they give themselves over to Jesus Christ. Just as the body is washed and made clean by water, so the person's conscience is cleansed and purified. That is, he is completely forgiven by God through faith. Just as the dirt is washed away by water, so the filth of our sins is washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this awesome reality is portrayed through baptism. Now, I want to be clear. We do not believe that the water itself has any power to cleanse the soul. Water simply does not have the ability to wash away sin. It is the death of Christ, his shed blood, received by faith and outwardly expressed through baptism, which makes a person clean. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. You see, again, it is the death and resurrection of Jesus received by faith which has the power to purify the soul, not the waters of baptism. A billion oceans of water cannot remove the sense of guilt that I have within, but simple trust in the blood of Jesus can take it away forever. Yeah. Baptism is a beautiful symbol of our cleansing. And more than that, God uses baptism in the life of the believer to remind us of his covenant promises that he will be our God and that he will remember our sins no more. It is a means of grace which impresses upon the hearts of the believer that God's cleansing truly belongs to us. Well, now that we've considered the symbol of cleansing, let's look at our text again, verse 16. I want us to notice another important phrase. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Point number two is that baptism is an expression of faith. Baptism is an expression of faith. Now, I want to discuss a technical note for just a second. The word calling, according to the new linguistic and exegetical key to the Greek New Testament, is, quote, a participle of means or manner. The calling on the Lord affects the washing away of sin. Don Whitney, in his book, Spiritual Disciplines Within the Church, explains the technical note very plainly. Here's what he wrote. The grammar of the original language of this verse makes it clear that it's calling on the name of the Lord, not baptism, that is instrumental in forgiveness. A person may be baptized every day, but unless he genuinely calls on the name of the Lord, there is absolutely no benefit in baptism. So here's the point of this technical information. The beauty of baptism is found not only in its symbolism, but also in its function. Paul called upon the name of the Lord when he was baptized because baptism is an expression, a personal expression of our faith in Christ. Consider it. Think about the numerous truths that we attest to through our baptism. Through baptism, we acknowledge that we are guilty, that we are defiled, and that we are in need of cleansing from God. Baptism is also an expression of our repentance, a dying to one life to begin another. Through baptism, we identify ourselves with Jesus who died and rose again. Through baptism, we acknowledge that God is triune. Through baptism, we anticipate our own resurrection and enjoying eternal life with God forever. In our church, the person being baptized openly confesses Christ in response to questions. And so the person being baptized commits himself to Jesus both by his words and through this watery covenant rite. Baptism, then, as an expression of our faith, is the God-ordained way for a person to respond positively to the good news about Jesus. It is the formal means by which we say yes to the gospel. Through baptism, we too call upon the name of the Lord. So just a brief word of application. Now that we've considered the symbol of cleansing and the function of baptism, I want us to look at our text one more time. And I want us to notice another important phrase. Again, Acts 22, verse 16. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. In closing, I want to say just a brief word to any among us who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, but have not yet been biblically baptized. Please consider these words again from Don Whitney, and I'll close with this. Baptism is for you if you know Christ. If you have had the experience symbolized by baptism, but have never been baptized, present yourself to your church as a candidate for baptism. It is easy to understand why someone who has never been united with Christ would have no desire for baptism. But why would anyone who has come to know Jesus Christ and received his eternal life refuse to identify with him in the manner he has prescribed? If others, perhaps even you, will proudly wear clothing announcing their loyalty to a sports team, can you remain unwilling to identify yourself with your Savior and God through baptism? Perhaps you still have some unanswered questions. Talk with your pastors about them. Don't put it off any longer. Do the will of Christ and be baptized. As Saul of Tarsus was asked in Acts 22:16, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized." Amen.